Brother Joel, normally is out of context for me, and it scares me to death.
Yeah.
I try to follow him each and every time that we try to teach Sunday school, but a lot of times I'll sit there and I'll read the scripture and I'll study, and I know what he wants me to teach him. And you know, a lot of times I'll write down some notes. My memory's terrible. Can't think of anything. And a lot of times I don't use them.
Yeah.
A lot of times I just try to follow him.
Yeah.
Best I can. But brother, I'm no different than the men that penned this Bible. And God can speak to me just like he can speak to them.
Yeah.
But I sat out there yesterday, and I tried to read the Bible in the house, and I couldn't. I went out by the chickens, and I read a while. And I went out by the bees, and I read a while.
Yeah.
And I walked the fields, and I walked the woods, and I just talked to God.
Yeah.
And I believe this is the way God wants us to run this morning. So we're going to try to follow him. I really want to get into 2 Corinthians, but he's leading me right this second to go to Jeremiah. The last couple weeks, more so than anything, my heart's been on the love of God. The love of God, Brother Todd. It's an enormous subject. You could read and study on the love of God for the rest of your life and never cover it all. And it'll never all get revealed to you. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, in verse 3, he said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That word everlasting there, it means time out of mind. It really means it's more than you can comprehend. It's always. It's forever and ever and ever. Never having an end. Never having an end. He said here, "I have loved thee." It ain't just that I started loving thee right now, but I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It seems to me that this happened way before he told Jeremiah that. And if you look over in Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet of the nations." He said, "I set you apart before you was even born. Before you was even formed in your mother's belly. Before you were even a thought. The God of heaven had set you apart." That's what he told Jeremiah. That's what the word sanctified means. It means set apart. It's separate. God did that in the life of Jeremiah. And then he said, "Ordain thee a prophet unto the nations." Brother Joel, I've studied that out a little bit, and it looks to me, Jeremiah, those old prophets, typically they were to the nation of Israel. But if you read the book of Jeremiah today, he prophesies to me each and every time I read to it. When you see the nations, that's not just Israel. I know most of his proclamation at that time went out to Israel. But he's still proclaiming Jesus Christ today to the nations. That's what God set him apart to do. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, he said, "The Lord hath appeared to me of old times, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." He He loved Jeremiah so much that he set him apart, called him to be a prophet. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That means to me this morning that Brother Keith, he still loves Jeremiah. He still loves Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah's been dead a long time, but God still loves him. And there's going to come a time whenever I'm going to leave out of this world. But brother, I believe just as Jeremiah, the God of heaven, loved me before I was formed in my mother's belly, before they knew anything about me, God loved me. And he loves me today. And he loves me tomorrow. And he'll love me forever and ever. Because that's the kind of love that God has. You look at any of God's attributes this morning, and they're all just as perfect as God is. God is an everlasting God. He's an eternal God. He's always been, he always will be.
Yeah.
Brother Joel Boss, this morning, his love is the same way. Right. His love is the same way this morning. If he loves you today, he's always loved you. I don't know if that's helping anybody else this morning, but it's blessing my heart right now. That the God of heaven, if he loves you right now, and he does, then he's always loved you. And he will forevermore love you this morning. And he said, and because I loved you, he said, therefore with love and kindness have I drawn thee. He said, with love and kindness, that word means pity. That means he had compassion on you. He seen you just where you were, and he had compassion on you, and he had mercy on you. And the word means has some meanings of faithfulness to you. And why is that? Why did God show you this love, Brother Heron? Why did he show you this mercy and this pity and this compassion on you? Because he loves you. That's what the word loving kindness means. So many times, we might get to it. He said, I have drawn thee, because therefore with love and kindness have I drawn thee. The word drawn means to drag. It means to lead. It means to take hold of, to seize. And there's a whole world this morning that has got up early and that will be preaching and teaching this morning about a God that loves them. And he does. And they're going to teach and preach that God loves everyone. But that's not true.
Right.
He loves all of his own.
Right.
He loves his own.
Yes,
and every one of his own he's loved forever. And will love forever. In the book of John, Chapter 6, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He said, everyone that God's give me is going to come. They're going to come. A lot of people don't like that scripture. They won't explain it away. But he meant exactly what he said. In verse 44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The Father has to do the drawing. There's a whole world today that's going to be preaching, whosoever will, that all you got to do is come, call on the name of the Lord, whenever, however, just as you are. And God does take you just how you are. He does. In his time. When he's drawing. When he's pulling. It's got to be him this morning. He said, no man can come to the Father except. No man can come to the Father which has sent me. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up to the last day. And brother, you can get in a ditch on both sides of this thing. And you can preach that whosoever will can come. The Bible says in John 3, and a lot of people love this scripture and they read it, and I love it myself. They read it and teach it. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life, or have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Brother, you look at that scripture in the context of the scripture, and he's telling Nicodemus, a Jew, he's telling him that he came into his own and his own received him not. And he's telling Nicodemus in a way that Nicodemus would understand, that I'm going to the Gentiles and I'm going to take the Jews that will believe, and I'm going to take the Gentiles that will believe, and whosoever will believe, all those that God calls, everyone that God draws, and those that believe, I'm going to take them. That's what he's telling Nicodemus right there. If you look at that scripture in the context, he said, whosoever believeth. The word believeth means to have faith. Brother, that's not something you can do in yourself. That is a gift to God. That has to be a gift to God. It has to be given to you. There's a many a time I came to an altar and I prayed what anybody in this world, most Baptists would say would be a sinner's prayer. I prayed that prayer. I prayed, God forgive me. I prayed that. But it didn't mean nothing because God wasn't drawing me like that. He wasn't ready for me at that time. And God did not give me faith to believe him. But when God drawed, when God drawed, he also gave the faith. When God drawed, when he pulled, then he also gave the faith. And I could believe. Jesus said in John 6, verse 28, he said, then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. He said, you want to do the works of God, you believe on who God sent. Talking of himself here. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. He said, I am right here before you, and you can see me. You've seen the miracles that God's performed. You've eaten the bread. If you read the scripture earlier, he said, the only reason you're here is because I fed you. That's what he said. He performed a great miracle, and they still couldn't believe. They couldn't see, brother. Their eyes were blinded. God did that. Just as much as God opens the eyes of the blind, God blinds the eyes of those. It's not his. He does. He said, I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And that's when he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's a great promise to my heart. He give me to the Father. Or the Father give me to Him. I'm in Him today. I'm in Him today. If you're in God, if you've ever been born again, He's in you. And you're in Him. This whole world today is the quote-unquote Christian world today is thinking of His resurrection. That's a good thing to think of. I think about it most every Sunday because that's the Lord's day. It's when He rose. I don't put my faith in today or another day. I don't know when it was that the Lord rose, but I know He rose. But even better than that, Brother Joel, I know that He died for me. And when He died, I died with Him. And when He rose again, I rose again in Him. And because He lives, I'm alive forevermore. And if you've got that love of God in you, and if He's done that for you, and if you were on His mind when He went to the cross, and when He went to the garden and He prayed for those that would believe hereafter, He's praying for me and for you. Yes, sir. I asked you this morning, did He pray for you right then? Did Jesus Christ pray for you right then? Because He's praying for everyone that would believe. Everyone. You can say, well, He's just a natural man. No, He wasn't. He was God. And Brother Todd, just as much as He is God in heaven, He is God when He was here on this earth. And Brother Todd, He knew everyone that would come. I dare say this morning He knew everyone, Brother Aaron, that He was dying for. He knew every sin that you would commit because He was putting that sin on Himself. The Father placed every sin of Aaron on Him. He placed every sin of Robert Parker on Him. He knew you, Brother Todd, and He loved you. That's why He went. That's why He went this morning. That's why He went and died. But better yet, that's why He rose again. For my justification, for your justification this morning. Why? Because He loves you forevermore. But none of that happens if He don't love you. Brother Todd, this morning, why would God leave heaven? A holy and righteous God leave heaven to die for a bunch of sinners, to die for a bunch of people that knew not God, didn't care nothing about God, didn't want God. The Bible says here that He has to draw them. Has to draw them. In Romans chapter 9, verse 16, He said, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Brother Joel, what does that mean right there? It means that it didn't matter if you wanted to. It says right there, it's not of him that willeth. It's not your choice. That's what that means. They're preaching this morning, choose God. Make a decision. You cannot. It really means right here, it don't matter if you want to or not. If it's the will of God, you're coming. That's what it means. Not of him that willeth. Brother Todd, he's saying right here, he don't care whether you wanted it or whether you didn't want it. That's what he means. He said one place he made us willing. He made us willing. That's right. That's what that word draw means. Brother, you can get in both sides of the ditch on it. I know you can. There's one side that preaches that everybody can come no matter what. And there's another side, brother, if you ain't careful, you can look at those words and it means what it means. The word draw does mean to drag. It means to forcibly pull. It means to pull. That's what it means. That's what power is. That's force. Brother, he said in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Brother Aaron, he made you willing, But it was because of his look. Brother Joel, I think back over the years, and I think back of what drew me to Christ. And there was some force, there was some power in getting me to the place of repentance. There was. There's no denying that. I couldn't get myself to that place, and you couldn't either. But brother, when God was dealing with my heart, it was the love of God. It was the love of God that was pulling me. It was the love of God that changed my heart, that made me want Him. That's what drew me. That's what pulled me. He said, it ain't Him that willeth. Lost my place. So then it is not a Him that willeth, nor a Him that runneth. Brother Joel, he's saying right there, it's not in your decisions.
No.
It's not in your works.
No.
That's what that word runneth means, to run or walk a course.
Yeah.
It's putting your hand to the plow. It's doing a work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole religion based on works this morning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of religions.
Yeah.
But there's a whole religion in the Catholic religion that's based on works. It's on what you do. It's on penance. It's on paying this or doing that. But it's not anything you can do this morning. That's what the scripture's saying. It don't matter how bad you want it. It don't matter how much you do. It don't matter how much works you put towards it. There's people, I've seen them. Brother, it's amazing. You can watch anything on YouTube. But there's people over in some of those countries, brother, they will climb for religion, for their religion. It's a penance to them. They will climb steps on their hands and knees. And when they get to the top of those temples, their knees are just bloody. And they think that that worked them something towards God. That God would have mercy on them because of that. They'll go through the whole town on their hands and knees. Just be bloody. That means anything to God. Brother Joel, I would say this morning, if God's drawing your heart to crawl from your seat to this altar, if that's what God's drawing you to do, then go ahead and do it. But I can tell you, the submitting in your heart and the believing what God says is what's going to save you. It ain't going to be the works that you do. It's not going to be the works that you do. It's not going to be the prayer that you prayed. It's not going to be anything that you can do. It's because He loves you is why you're going to be born again. You look over there, he says, not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It ain't nothing that Jacob did. It ain't nothing that Esau did. But it was because God loved Jacob is why Jacob seen mercy. And this morning, if you've got mercy, if you've been, the love of God's been poured out on your heart, if you've been born again, it's because God loved you. And you can't explain it. A man asked me yesterday, we were talking on the phone as a good brother. We were talking on the phone. He said, I just can't understand it. I don't know why God would do this for me. He said, I know who I am. And brother, all you can say is it's the love of God. He just chose to because he loved you. I don't know why. I don't know why. You'll never explain it. You never will get it through your head why God did it the way he done it. But God loved you this morning. And it's because of his love that he did this for you. Joel, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, he said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." He's talking to me, he's talking to you this morning. Every one of you that was dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said, you live just as wicked and rotten as just everybody else in this world. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You say, well, I didn't live that bad. I didn't do that bad. Well, you might want to check up. But I would even say, even if in physically, if you was born again young and then physically you didn't get in a lot of sin, then I know for a fact then you're facing it in your mind. And there's a spiritual battle each and every day. And there's a whole lot more than like that rich young ruler said, all these things from my youth up I've kept. He's a liar right there. There ain't no way he kept all the law. The only one that did that was Jesus Christ. But if you're self-righteous enough to say that you kept everything that he said do or don't do, then I would dare say in your heart you're a sinner. You're a sinner. It's happening. You can go ahead and count down. You got pride right there. That's a sin. You're just not looking at yourself the way God looks at you. But he said here that you were a sinner. You ran around just like everybody else is what he said there in verse 3. Were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Then he said in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. A blessed verse to my heart. Brother Joel, I know who I was. And I was right there. Even as others. Wicked and vile and corrupt. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. His great love, Brother Todd. He's got a whole bunch of it, more than you can think, more than I can think this morning. He said, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were dead in sins. And then he said the word hath. That's past tense. Not real good with the English language, but I know what past tense means. It means it happened in the time past, a long time ago. He said, even, Brother Chief, even when you were dead in sin, he quickened you together. It means he made you alive, he said, with Christ. What does that mean there? Chief, before you were born into this world, in Christ, you was already alive. Even when you were dead in your sin, even when you were dead and couldn't get to God, he quickened you and made you alive in Christ Jesus. He said, by grace you're saved. Why'd he put that there? Because exactly what he just said, ain't nothing you could do. You're in him already. It ain't nothing he's seen in you. It ain't nothing you could ever merit to do. But it was him. And hath raised us up together. Hath raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Brother, just as Jesus Christ was risen again, you rose in him. If you're in him, you rose again with him. Brother, this was in past times. It's already been done. A lot of people look at this scripture and say, well, Jesus did this at salvation. He made you aware of it at salvation. I'll go there. But the work was done. The work was done in him before he came to Calvary. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Why was he slain? For you and for me. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then he said that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. And then he follows that up and he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Nothing you can do. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, there's nothing you could do. I did it all for you. I did the whole work, every bit of it. I did it for you. Why? Because I loved you. He said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I used to look at that scripture and say, well, that's things to come. That's what he's going to do in heaven. That's what I'm going to see over when I get over to the other side. But he said there, the ages to come. That's a period of time. And brother, if you look at this scripture, that period of time started whenever, in our time, it started there at Calvary. When did God start pouring out his goodness to you? At Calvary. When did he start pouring out his goodness? You look at the Old Testament, it was nothing but wrath. It was nothing but wrath and judgment on sin. That's all it was. But there came Calvary, and there was a dividing line, and the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. It means that no man didn't do it. That means that God did it. He broke that middle wall of partition down, and because of that, we can get into him. We can go see Christ. We can fellowship. We can get back here to the Holy of Holies. Why? Because that blood was put on the altar, it was put on the mercy seat, and it attained eternal redemption for us. That work's done. It's done. It's done on Calvary. In time. In eternity past, it was always done. For me and for you. But in time, he came here. But ever since Calvary, he's been pouring out his goodness to his children. Brother Todd, you look at that thing. He said that in the ages to come, he's not done. This ain't as good as it gets. There is still more coming. But brother, he's already started doing it. If you open your eyes and look this morning at the goodness of God. Brother Joel, you said it this morning. You opened your eyes. You woke up this morning. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. We sit here this morning in a climate-controlled environment. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. The wind ain't blowing our hair. Ladies, it ain't blowing my pages of my Bible. I appreciate that this morning. It's a blessing of God. We got lights we can see. I got eyes that I can see. I got ears that I can hear. And not just physically, but spiritually. It's all the blessings of God. Why? Because of his love. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith, that's a gift of God. Nothing you did, nothing that you could merit, just a gift of God. Yeah. Well, that was done from everlasting to everlasting. Before, just like as Jeremiah, before I formed thee, I knew thee. I would say this morning, God knew about all this, every bit of it, before the foundation of the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 14, he said, for the love of God constraineth us. He said, the love of God constraineth us. That word constraineth means to hold together. It takes the meaning of arresting or to capture. Brother Joel, I read this scripture yesterday, and I've been reading this scripture for a while now. And I don't know what all the Lord's doing in my heart on this scripture. But I sit out by the bees yesterday. I got 5 hives out there, and I sit there with a chair, and I watched them come in. And I watched them go out. I watched them crawl around, and I watched them do their little dances, and I was amazed, Brother Todd, at what God's done. I love just going out there, brother. I can go out there, my muscadine vines is right behind me, and I can think of those scriptures where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he gives me understanding of scriptures by what's in nature. It's amazing how God does all these things. He sets it all up. He gives me perfect examples to see. The Bible says that he opens every man's eyes. The world around him lets you see that there is a God. The sun rises every morning, sets every evening. It's all set up and ordained by God. But I sit out there and I watch those beats. And I was thinking as I watched them, what keeps that hive together? There's one queen in there. There's one queen in there, Brother Joel. And every one of them, every other bee in there does the work that they're set up to do. They work themselves to death for the queen and for the goodness of the hive. And God worked in my heart yesterday this scripture. The love of Christ constraineth us. And I thought, Brother Keith, why do we do what we do? In the work of God, why do we do what we do? What keeps me in this path? What keeps me going this way? Why do I get up in my every morning and think about God and pray? Why do I do that, Brother Joel? The love of God constrains me to do those things. Why do I read my Bible? Because I love the scripture and I love what he tells me. Yeah. The love of God constrains me. Why do we testify in the house of God? Why do we testify to others outside the house of God? Because the love of God constrains us. Yeah. Why are we held together? Why is this group of people put together? Because the love of God constrains us. It binds us. That's what happens. I was thinking, they say that every spring, if you watch a hive, I've been in a many of them, you watch a hive, there'll be nothing all winter long. There'll be no brood. There'll be no little babies. And when the first little bit of pollen starts coming in the door, when those worker bees go out and get pollen and they bring it in the door, that signals to the queen that it's time to start laying eggs. And she lays. And then nectar comes, and they draw out comb, and they make wax, and then they fill it with honey. They do all these things. Why? Because that's what God put in them. It's all by pheromones that the queen produces. And brother, I dare say that we do everything that we do by the lead and the power of God. What God tells us to do in this life, that's why we do what we do. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. And we're to follow him this morning. In whatever he tells us to do. Why do I love you this morning? Because God put the love of God in my heart for you. Brother, it don't matter what your job is in this place. God's got to work for each and every one of us. From the people that clean the church, to the people that work on the church, to the people that preach, to the people that testify, to the people that go out and tell others to come in. Brother, there's a work for every one of us to do. And the love of God is what constrains us all to do those things. And it's what pulls us together. Because of his eternal love. Because of his eternal love. Everlasting love that he spoke about over there in Jeremiah this morning. Because of that love, we do what we do this morning. Because of that love, we will go home to home with him one day, brother. Because of that love, I've been born again. Because of that love, I'm saved by the goodness of God. By the power of God, he works in my heart and in my life, and he gives me understanding of the scripture, and I bless his name for that because of the love of God this morning. It don't matter where you're at this morning. It doesn't matter what God's doing in your heart this morning. Really, it all stems down to the love of God.